Sorry for the lateness. I had a really hectic week this week, and luckily that's over. And now I have all the time in the world because there's a lot to talk about. A lot happened, and there was, oh, this episode was amazing. So let's just jump right in. Okay, we start out with Sean still being creepy. He's watching Larry trying to undo what he just did by sending out the federal warrant to stop Jack and Renee from tailing Dubaku. And then he goes to the bathroom, and Erica, who is his blonde little mistress, comes in and talks to Sean. She's freaking out, which obviously means that she was also involved, which I totally called. And so did a lot of other people who have sent me feedback. She's freaking out. You're the one who sent the federal warrant. Do you want to get us caught? And he explains, you know, I sent the warrant out to sideline them. I don't need any more of your meltdowns. I'll get you out of this, but you can't panic. And they're obviously both scared, but Sean is definitely keeping his level of composure, but Erica is not. And Sean says he did, you know, he hacked into some whatever, and he can hear everything that they're saying. So he's, like, totally in control as of right now. Tells her to act normal. You let me worry about Bauer and Renee. Then, when we left Jack and Renee, they were getting arrested because this federal warrant went out. And he's trying to, Jack's trying to explain, what's going on, what happened. Renee's worried about Marika and saying, you know, Dubaku's gonna kill her. They're her only protection, and she's just really worried about Marika. And Jack was like, well, I mean, you know, we had to send her out. She was our only asset. And Renee was like, Jack, she is not an asset. She is a human being. And I had to agree with Renee because that seemed like a really kind of rash thing for Jack to say. But then again, I mean, it was true. But he's just really blunt about things. Anyways, back with Marika. She arrives to see with Dubaku, the driver drove her there. And he knows that she's been turned. He says, give me your cell phone, I know about you, and he smashes it. She tries to run, and he's like, I trusted you, how could you do this to me? And she's like, well, I know who you are and what you've done. And he was like, well, the FBI, they showed you lies. You don't know me or my country. I brought peace to Sangala. You know, what you did was a dagger through my heart. But I am a forgiving man, I still want you to come with me. And Marika's like, no, you know, I don't know who you are. And he's like, well, yes, you do. Just get past your fear. I'm still the man you fell in love with. I won't leave without you. Except he said it in a very much deeper voice. And she agrees. And he says he won't be disappointed. She agrees, and you can tell there's this tiny look that she gives. And you tell that she's still in control. She's got the control. She's going along because she knows she's the only link that the FBI has to Dubaku. So she did a really brave thing there. So props to Marika. Oh no, I lost my place in my notes. Here we go. Back with Jack and Renee. Their story was verified by Larry Moss, and he talks to them. Jack says they lost the signal. It went dead 3 minutes ago. So Chloe's working on it, going with the traffic cams. They're in a dark gray Jeep Grand Cherokee about 10 minutes from the airfield. And the guy, I forget, was it Burnett? Yeah. Mr. Burnett asks Dubaku if he took care of the problem, and he said, oh, she had a change of heart. And obviously people are kind of concerned about why he's going to such lengths to take her with him, as am I, which I'll talk about later. But he just says, shut up, she's my concern. Marika's, you know, who's that? Oh, it's a government official, someone who, you know, I've learned while I've been here that I just want to spend time with people I really care about. And she's, Marika, one thing I noticed is she's being really good. She's going along with it. She's able to keep her composure, and because this is really sensitive, but she's doing a good job. Then we get to see some Jack crazy driving action, which is like the coolest thing ever. And we all know that Jack is such a crazy, crazy driver. And it's so, I love it when he gets behind a wheel and you just see this glint in his eye and you're like, oh, here he goes. And there was this crazy car chase, and Jack got pinned behind this cab. So he tells Renee to get out and maintain a visual. Marika's like, oh no. You know, I have to do something. So she attacks the driver, which flips, you know, they get into an accident and the Jeep flips. So Jack calls an ambulance. The driver's dead, obviously. Jack pulls Dubaku out. He's badly hurt. Marika's still pinned in the car. Renee's trying to get her out, but the car's on fire. Jack tells, you know, tells Renee to get over here because the car's on fire. And she really wants to get Marika out. She is bent on keeping her word that she's going to keep her safe. And Jack goes over to pull Renee away, but she pulls her gun on him and says, get off me, I gave her my word. And he's like, okay, fine, you know, and he helps her get Marika out. And then the car explodes. Dubaku is still conscious, but he's really badly hurt, but at least they have him in custody now. So, yay. And then Renee tries to revive Marika, but it's pretty obvious that she's dead, which is really sad because I liked her for the brief 10 minutes that she was brave. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so back at the hospital, Henry's in surgery and Allison Taylor's is she at the hospital or did she? Yeah, she's still at the hospital at this point. Ethan's briefing her. They said, troops encounter little resistance. We've liberated refugee camps. Allison's distracted and thinking about Henry. Is this Ethan or is this Bill? No, it was Ethan. It was someone. Someone. There's so many people to keep track of. Anyways, she's really torn up about everything. She said, what happened was my fault. I should have never believed that their son committed suicide. It didn't listen. No one believed him. Ethan said no one believed him, but Allison was like, but I'm his wife. He deserved my trust. Which, I love her, and save that till later. Then Bill comes in and tells them that we've captured Dubaku. He's critical, he's non-responsive, but they're going to question him if he wakes up. But if he dies, you know, this whole operation dies with him. There's really no point anymore. But you can't remain here. You need to go to the White House. You're too exposed here. I can't effectively protect you here. It's the safest place for you to be. There's nothing more we can do here. You need to be in the Oval Office. Yeah, she's going back. So then Allison says, we're just going to have to pray that Jack Bauer can get those names from Dubaku. So back with Dubaku and Jack, he wakes up for a tiny period of time. Jack says, tell me what I want in names. It's over for you. And if you're not going to tell me, I know about your family. I know about your son in Senegal. I will make sure that he knows that it's his father's fault that, you know, the things that I'm doing to him are his fault. Just give me the names. And Dubaku says, I have a list on me. And he goes into cardiac arrest. And Jack's not going to take that for an answer. He says, get him back. I need to talk to him. I don't care if he's having a heart attack. Revive him. And they try to shock him back, and somehow they figure out that there's a metal plate. Oh, because, yeah, they figure out there's a metal plate or something in him. So Jack cuts him open. And this is very similar to something that they did in season 2. They're recycling some moves here, but so this is some sort of encryption file with all the names that Jack, or supposedly all the names that Jack wants. So Jack calls Larry, tells him he's got this digital storage device, and of course Sean can hear all this because he's listening in, and he starts to freak out. And so Jack gives it to an officer who's going to take it back to FBI, and so Sean's like, oh no, we have a situation. So he goes and finds Erica, tells her what's going on, says they have Dubaku's database, which contains the names of everyone involved, names, bank accounts, whatever, of everyone involved. So if they have that, then Sean and Erica are in big doo-doo. So Erica starts overreacting again, and of course she goes to the, you know, you promised, you know, we're going to get through this, but you also promised me you're going to leave your wife, which is what they all say. Okay, so she should never have believed that in the first place. Anyways, that's doesn't have anything to do with anything. Anyways, so he tells her, you know, as soon as Chloe downloads the files, we're going to crash the system. We'll initiate a system-wide reformat. And if we do this, it'll delete that thing and no one will know. He says, I can't do this without you. And he's, like, totally, you know, using their relationship, which is so, drives me nuts. But anyways, you know, and she's falling for it, too. So Erica ties the main servers together, and at this point, I got this feeling, just by, because Sean is just so creepy. He's such a tool, he's such a creep, and a snake, as someone pointed out earlier. I could totally tell he was going to frame it on her somehow, and just the way he was looking at her gave me an uneasy feeling. So, at the hospital, there, Renee and Jack went to the hospital with Dubaku and Marika. She's sad that, obviously Marika died because she's trying so hard to fight against this, image that people are starting to see of her. Anyways, I'll talk about that later too. I've got so much to talk about. There's so much stuff that happened. Yeah. So, she talks to Jack, and she's really upset. He tells her Larry got the drive, and she says, well, that's all that matters, right? And Jack says, well, I don't like what happened to Marika any more than you do, but we did what was necessary. And, which isn't the end of their hospital conversation. But back with the FBI, they get the drive, Chloe goes to work on it, Erica and Sean are in that big, huge computer room in the basement. Sean's checking surveillance, just, you know, cover their butts. And he says, as soon as we do this, they're going to realize something's going on, so we need to be able to have our escape planned. His phone rings, it's Mr. Burnett. He tells them that Dubaku hasn't arrived at the airfield. And Sean informs them that's because FBI got him. He's unconscious. They have the database. But I'm deleting it. Don't worry. They won't get it. I'll take care of it. Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Erica's in the corner like, oh, no, this isn't working. The reformat won't start. And Sean is like, just think it through. Be smart. And she gets it to work. Then Chloe notices the hard drive reformatting because she's Chloe and she's awesome. Which we'll see a little later, and someone is trying to crash the system, and asks where the mainframe room is. We have to, and then Sean's like, okay, we have to get out, and then they're, all of a sudden, you know, they start making out, and then bam, Sean shoots Erica in the stomach, and shoots himself in the arm, which doesn't make any sense to me, because a further investigation would totally reveal that he has prints all over the gun. None of her prints on the gun. If she was the one who shot him, which is what he says, her prints would be on there. None of her prints are on there. And he has gunshot residue on his hands and the angle of the bullet. We know all this from CSI. Like, seriously, that was a stupid move. But, I mean, it worked in the short term. Larry comes in, and he's like, oh, I didn't mean to kill her. And, Chloe's is like, dang, well, we're too late. The files are gone. We can't do anything from here. Then, Sean came prepared, and he gave Larry everything that Erica was supposedly doing for the past 3 days, which isn't what she was doing, but he totally framed her, I hate him so much. And he still's whining, you should have trusted me, you should have trusted me. And, Larry was like, well, I don't know who to trust, just, you know, keep your mouth shut. And Chloe, who is, like, working on it in the back, she's so awesome. She's like, oh, yay, got the files. Erica's parameters were too small. And tells Sean that he should get to the statement that he's going to give about shooting Erica. And also go see Dr. Weber, because you shot a fellow agent, so you're going to need to talk to someone. So Sean's like, oh, I'm going to need to go on an errand and whatever. He's being a wussy and running away, and so he runs through the hall like a douche. That's what I wrote down. That's funny. Anyways, security corners him. Larry comes in and is like, dude, WTF? And all Sean says is that I'd like to speak with my attorney, which he would. Such a douche. Can't believe I wrote that down. That's funny. Anyways, so back at the hospital, we have Rosa, Marika's sister, asking about her, where she is, and Renee informed her that she died. There was a crash and she was killed. And Rosa is like, I don't understand. You said you'd protect her. And Renee keeps going, we wouldn't have caught him without her help. She was very brave. And she gives her effects. And Rosa's obviously really upset. And, she was all I had. I trusted you. You killed my sister. You didn't even care. And Renee's so affected by this. And Jack calls Renee. He can sense that something's, she's upset. And he calls her over and tells her, we're getting to make arrests. We have the names. It's all over. And then this starts off what was a really touching and interesting moment between them. Jack tries to comfort her and says, it was a tragedy, but we weren't wrong. She made the choice. And Renee's like, listen to yourself. You don't even sound human. And he said, we protected thousands of lives. It wasn't wrong. It was necessary. And, of course, Renee goes for the jugular and says, I read your file when your wife was killed. Did you even feel that? And Jack just turns around and says, what do you want from me? And she says, I want to know that you feel something, and slaps him in the face. Do you feel that? And slaps him a couple of times. And then she calms down and gives her a hug and says, it's going to be all right. It's going to take a while, but you will learn to live with it. And she's like, well, what if I don't want to live with it? And then Jack was like, then quit. And if you ever pull your weapon on me again, you better intend to use it. And Renee said, I did. Which, Jack, he looks really hurt by that, which was kind of sad. It made me sad. I hate when Jack looks hurt. Back with Olivia, Bill sent Aaron Pierce to go get Allison Taylor's daughter, Olivia, and she's looking at a picture of the family, asks what's going on, how's Dad? Allison tells her he's in surgery. Is he going to be okay? We don't know. The bullet went through his lung. The doctors are doing everything. And she and Olivia ask, who did this? And Allison says, it's complicated. And she still wants to know. And she said, so Allison says, your father found out about a conspiracy, and the people behind it tried to kill him. We were trying to find out. And Olivia wants to go to the hospital. And Allison's like, no, they're still out there. It's not safe. This is not a debate. I'm not risking you. And so Bill comes in. And Allison says, there's still a lot we need to talk about. We've been ignoring this for far too long. And Olivia says, it took Dad getting shot for you to want to talk. And she says, we'll talk later. Bill informs the president that Jack recovered the database that contained all the names. There's close to 100 people across all agencies. There's detailed files on every person. This is exactly what we were looking for. And Allison tells him to start making arrests. And says, what you have done puts all of us in your debt. There are a lot of people to thank, and says Bill, including Jack Bauer. And then he goes for, he says, Jack is going to resume his testimony in the morning. I feel Senator Mayer is on a personal crusade against Jack. It isn't right, especially after today. And Allison is like, well, what are you asking me to do? And Bill says, Jack Bauer helped save this country. He does not deserve to be in prison. And she says, I'm going to have to think about it. And Bill says, well, that's all I'm asking. So then Jack is on the steps of the Tranquility Pool. And then all of a sudden, Tony comes back. And Jack asks, what are you doing here? And Tony says, I need to talk to you. And I thought you were going to turn yourself in when this was done. And he was like, well, I will, but I'm not done. I told you I was following up on a lead. This isn't over yet, Jack. There's going to be another attack in D.C. It's Juma. He knows he's going to lose control. He's going to strike back at the U.S. One of the men that Tony worked with had a direct line of communication with Juma. The window opens at 1900 hours. He doesn't know the target, but he does know it has high value and high impact. Mm-hmm. Ryan Burnett is the full name of the guy that Dubaca was doing dealings with. It turns out that he's Senator Mayer's chief of staff, and he's been involved from the very beginning. And this is what Tony tells Jack. And Jack's like, you better not be lying to me. And Tony says, this is real, Jack. Burnett will be on Dubaca's list. He will start running. We've already got a tail on him. And if you're with me, meet me at the corner of First and Constitution. I need your help. Back at the FBI, Larry's addressing everyone, says, yay, we got this list, it's all over, yay. And then Mark Burnett, why do I want to say Mark Burnett? He he's a producer, isn't he? Anyways, Ryan Burnett gets a call from Senator Mayer, and he says he's going to the White House because the president wants to speak to him about Jack Bauer, and it's on. Jack Bauer was pulled away to help, and now she wants to talk to me. He doesn't like the timing of this, so he wants his chief of staff there with him. Then the Burnett gets a text that says, units in place, operation on schedule. Gosh, I don't even know where to begin with this one. It was so amazing. I thought that, anyways, let's start with Sean and Erica. So, I've been expressing my disgust for Sean since the very beginning. He's so snaky, and he's greasy, and he's, like, the quintessential, from the very beginning, every time he was on screen, I just, like, tensed up. And Erica bugs me, too, because she's so clueless, and I feel like she was really dumb about the whole thing, and she was definitely not looking out for herself at all. She was thinking in terms of, oh, you're gonna leave your wife, and we're gonna be together, and ooh. But all she was to him was the patsy, the scapegoat, and that's, just makes me so mad that he was, and he's so heartless, like, he has no emotion. He hasn't showed really any emotion this whole day. With regards to his wife, I mean, we saw him sort of get freaked out when she was on a plane that might have been targeted. But other than that, I mean, even that wasn't anything. But, oh gosh, I hate him. And I'm really glad that he is in custody. And, oh my gosh. And the scene where he shot Erica, I expected that. As soon as I realized that he was going to pin it on her, I didn't know how. But, that didn't surprise me that he shot her, but, I mean, and it kind of was, like, a weird moment, too, because it was like, yay, we deleted the files, let's make out, you know, instead of, we should be getting out of here. So that was the first, one of the, probably, like, the third red flag that something was going down, but poor thing. I mean, she was so caught up in this, like, delusion that they were going to run off together, and I think that's definitely what her downfall was, that she put too much faith in this man, and we all know not to do that, okay? Sorry to all my male listeners out there, which is, like, everyone is, anyways, disregard that last statement. Let's see, who else? There's, of course, Jack and Renee. Jack is just such a, he's so amazing. I love him. I think he's one of my favorite characters of all time, just because all this time that the series has been running on, we've definitely peeled back more and more layers, and now we have this Jack that's just totally and completely, like, he's really mechanical and clinical, and he's like a machine. He does what's necessary, and that's what he's been telling Renee this whole day, is like, we do what's necessary. If people die, you know, that sucks, but that's the way it goes. He's just become this, like, mechanical, like, total awesome terrorist fighting machine, which is kind of sad in a way, because, I mean, you'd think, like, with Renee, it's interesting because we got to see a little bit of Jack's dealing with the things that Renee's dealing with, but not too much. We do get glimpses into it every time, you know, someone brings up Terry, which isn't a good idea, but people do, and he just, like, that's like, you know, poking him in the eye with a stick. It just makes him angry, and that emotion that he's, you know, has very deep down suppressed comes out. But I think I really remember the only time that we got to see him actually, you know, being sad was in the very beginning of season 2. And now with Renee, she's sort of dealing with, and we get to see the transition she's making from, you know, going by the book, being very, by very protocol, and, you know, to, you know, trying to be more mechanical like Jack, but it's really hard for her to make that transition, and especially, you know, with her interactions with Rosa, especially, that was really sad, and I mean, I can understand where Rosa's coming from. She's just upset. People say things that are, you know, when they're upset, they say things that aren't really true, or, you know, they don't mean, and, but Renee is just, she's already, like, high strung about the whole thing, and then Rosa comes in and says, "You killed my sister. It was your fault. You let her die." And I think Renee, you know, she's fighting against, like I said before, this persona, like, when she went in to torture Vossler's, well, torture in quotation marks, Vossler's wife, you know, she said, "You're a monster." But really, you know, she had no idea that her husband was the real monster. So she's putting this, you know, label of monster on Renee, when really it's not her at all. But she can't really be like, you know what, you know, let me tell you. She has to deal with it, and it's becoming really hard for her, and she had that moment of breakdown with Jack, which I thought was really nice. They had a really nice touching moment together when he's trying to comfort her, but then, you know, he says, you know, it's going to take some time, but you'll get used to it. You'll learn to live with it, because he knows, he's gone through this tons of times. He's lost people he cares about so many times, but she says, what if I don't want to? What if I don't want to live with that? And he says, well, then quit, because really, that's just the way it is. That's the way this is. You're going to have to become like me, or you're going to have to quit. Also, okay, so the whole Marika and Dubaku thing, I'm still so confused by it, because we have Dubaku, who is, you know, involved in terrorist activity. Why is he risking getting caught by the FBI for this woman who, you know, doesn't really seem to have anything of real value that he could use? He's so bent on her coming with him, which is really weird, because he just, and plus he has a family back in Sangala, so I just, like, what? I don't understand that at all. If anyone has any sort of explanation, the only reason that I can think of that would make sense would be that he actually loved her, but I just don't, that's weird. That's a weird thought, to think that Dubaku actually has, like, human feelings. But seriously, there's no other reason, and I just don't understand why he needed her, why he wanted her with him, other than the whole love thing. It's weird. Marika, I'm really sad that she died, but at the time, like, I agree with Jack, like, it was kind of, she went along with it. She did more than they really asked her to do, because they were gonna catch Dubaku when they dropped her off, but she realized that she needed to go with him, because they weren't there yet, and so she realized what she had to do, and she did it. So she was really brave, and she, you know, she's a hero. But I mean, when I watched her die, it was kind of like, oh man, that sucks, but I mean, we got Dubaku out of it, which is kind of weird, like, to think that us as viewers are thinking that way, but it's true. I mean, we definitely have gotten into that mindset of what's necessary. And, yeah. So, R.I.P. Marika, you are a good character. I mean, I didn't like you in the beginning because you were kind of dumb about Dubaku, but you redeemed yourself, and you die a hero in my book. Then we have, let's see, who else? Allison Taylor. I can't go one episode without mentioning how much I love her. She's so human, and this thing with her daughter just reinforces that. She's a strong woman. She's sticking to her guns. I'm so proud of her that she hasn't backed down from what she's thought was right this whole time, even though she's had plenty of opportunity. And as strong as she is, and as, you know, as great of a leader she is, she still has problems at home, which is, you know, very relatable. So I'm excited to see this relationship with Olivia play out, and I wonder what happened between them that would cause such friction, but I'm sure that we're going to be able to see more of that. Also, Kurtwood Smith as Senator Mayor I love him. I watched him in That 70s Show for years, and so I can't wait for him to, like, call Jack a dumbass, because that's just Kurtwood Smith in my mind. But I don't know. I wonder how he's going to play into this whole thing. I wonder how Burnett is going to... that'll be interesting. I'm excited. I mean, the preview for next week was really riveting. Really cool. Also, one last thing to add is that I feel like I'm in this video game where we've beaten, you know, the first boss, we've gotten past Dubaku, but now the big boss is coming out to play, and that's, I just got this image of, like, I've been playing Super Mario 64 lately, and I just got this image, like, when they show Juma on screen for the next week's episode, I just got this image in my mind of, like, the big, huge Bob-omb thing on the top of the mountain. I don't know why, but that's what I feel like. Big Boss Juma, and we just have to get past Big Boss Juma. Also, I was in the chat room during the episode 24 this week, and I got to talk to Bill, and we talked about a lot of these issues, most of these issues, actually, and he said, and I also have thought of this, too, as thought of this as well, that Jack's father, I know there's also a lot of other people who have this thought, Jack's father's not, we haven't seen the last of him yet, so I wonder if, I feel like, you know, in any good, there should be three bosses, so once we get past Juma, you know, maybe there's someone else, and maybe it's Jack's father again, because we didn't really see him die, and you can't be too sure anymore about, you can't be too sure about who's dead for, unless they got a silent clock. That's the only, you know, way you can definitively tell if someone's dead, because Tony didn't get one, and we should have known, but, yeah, so Big Boss Juma. Oh, also with Tony, speaking of Tony, he's so mysterious this season, and I still kind of have it in the back of my mind that he's not, like, all good. He's so shady. Like, the way he popped up this episode was like, whoa, he's like a shot. He's like a ninja. And he's like Tony the Ninja. So I'm excited to see what they do with him more this season. He should definitely have a bigger role, because I really love Carlos Bernard in that role. I mean, Tony's such an amazing character. Everyone loves Tony. So I'm excited to see his role more, even if he turned out to be bad, which I'm not saying he will, because I really don't, you know, I haven't established that yet. I still love him. I think a lot of people are with me on that. So that's about all I've got for this this week. So yeah. If you want to get a hold of me, there are plenty of different ways to do this. You can be my friend on Facebook. Just search Bauer Power Hour. You'll find a picture of me with the 24 logo in the corner. You can also email me at bauerpowerhour@podomatic.com. And also, I still have my awesome website that has a chat room, which I will be in next week. I'm on Mountain Time, like I said, and it comes on at 8 o'clock Mountain Time here, which I think was confusing for some people. But I will be in the chat room, so we can talk. I really appreciate it. I was in the, last week I got to talk to Bill, like I said, and he was really nice and didn't spoil anything for me, but we were able to have a really nice talk afterwards, so seriously, people, come in the chat room and talk to me. It'll be fun, and we'll talk about a lot of different things, and this is what this podcast is really all about, is getting people together to talk about the show, because it's really fun, and it's a really awesome show. So yeah, and the address for that is www.bauerpowerhour.bravehost.com. That's bauerpowerhour.bravehost.com. Thanks again, Eric, for making that website. It's been really fun to use, and I look forward to implementing that more, like I said. Yeah, so that's about all I have for this week. Don't forget to tune in next week on Monday, because there's a special 2 hours. I'm so excited. 2 hours of awesome Jack, Tony, Renee, Larry, Chloe, Bill, Allison, Juma, tasticness. Also, I just want to add and take a poll. Whoever responds, I was wondering if next week for Bauer Power Hour, if I should do one whole hour segment, like cover both hours in just one show, or if you would like me to split them up so that you can listen to the first hour and then go like take a break and like have something to eat and then come back and listen to the second hour. So whichever one you prefer, just send me a note, and whichever one has the most votes, that's the one I'll do for next week. So yeah, don't forget to tune in. It's gonna be amazing. I can tell the White House gets stormed by people, and it's shaping up to be pretty awesome. So yeah, have a great weekend, and I'll see you guys next week.